McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Ice Flyers update. We they play this song. They play this song all the time, and they're at least they used to.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, a long time ago. When I had gone to Ice Flyers games.
My husband turned me on to it. This is one of the songs we play at home.
Oh yeah.
And so let me make sure I'm turning the right down.
Under what circumstances? Just for the fun of it.
To plug in a guitar and play along with.
Oh, all right. Nice.
Or in my case,
Fratelli's,
air
right?
drum. Yeah, it's the Fratellis, which is funny. The brothers and the Goonies. They were the brothers. There's your fun fact for the day. I feel like Bobby Rossi.
Here we are.
Yeah. Wrestling groupies are called ring
wrestlers. Oh, my
That's
God.
That's where you know.
So here's what I take away from what happened in the storm is it seems, and I don't know, in the news business we don't typically say it this way, but it looks like it wasn't anywhere near as bad as it could have been. I mean,
oh, great.
I mean, it just.
I saw there was not many
deaths. So, no. In fact, there were two people who died separately in car crashes because of the wet conditions, you know, driving during the storm.
Oh, my goodness.
And then one person died in Georgia. I'm just going to memory. I thought it was they had a tree on their house, is what I remember. But I think that's correct. So, which, you know, all things considered, yeah, no official hurricane related deaths in Florida. FHP had two different people die in weather-related crashes a couple hours before landfall. And look, anybody dies, it's awful. But compared to last year, right? I mean, Ian killed 149 people.
Wow.
So just, I mean, I don't know if you remember, like, Ian was awful.
It
was
horrible
how bad Ian was last year. And even, you know, the governor... yesterday when he was talking about this, he just said, you know, look, it was fundamentally different. I think part of the difference, much more rural area in the Big Bend. So you had a lot fewer people. You just didn't have as many houses. There were, you know, as I told you yesterday, as I was kind of looking at the Google Maps, trying to figure Google Street View to see which houses and which areas would be the most harmed. And it just didn't seem like there were a lot. And the ones who were there mostly evacuated.
Well, I can tell you with Hurricane Ian, as soon as that storm hit, within an hour after it hitting, there were frantic phone calls to 911 locally there of people that were literally drowning in their house. And it was something that you just, and when I was talking to the sheriff, I remember talking to the sheriff down in Lee County on the phone, just the feeling of dread that those phone calls represented, you knew that there was going to be a lot of problems. We have not seen that in the same way on this storm.
Yeah, and it looks like largely because people evacuated, you know, which is good. That's people heeded the evacuation warnings, especially in some areas we were talking about a bunch yesterday.
We obviously had really significant storm surge in both Cedar Key and Steinhatchee.
He said it too.
And clearly the storm surge there was enough to potentially be life-threatening if people didn't take proper precautions. But I think most of the people did. And I think they probably really protected themselves and their families as a result.
Fantastic. That's great. I mean, look, it's a house. Losing a house is awful, but losing a house, you can rebuild a house. You know, you lose a life, that's it. I mean, there's no undoing that. So I hate to say like, hey, it's good news, but it's good news. You know, all things considered of how bad it could have been and what could have happened, it seems like, you know, much less bad. And, you know, you're going to see video of places that are underwater and places flooded and structures that got destroyed. But, you know, it's not the wipe off the map kind of stuff that, you know, we had seen in Michael or the kind of deaths that we had seen last year. And again, compared to what we were anticipating, especially once we learned that it was an almost four, you know, at landfall, there was kind of some discrepancy between, you know, that NOAA was reporting at 130, other people reported at 125. That's the break point. You know, 130 is the break point between 3 and 4. You know, very powerful, obviously, storm. But still, that I hate to say then this is all, but, you know, compared to what it could have been. One of my favorite photos that came out of this, by the way, did you see the photo of all the linemen staged at Pensacola Beach under the beach ball?
Yes.
I love that picture. That's a great picture. We've got a shirt up on our Facebook page. And to me, what I love about that picture is that's just like, you know, this is what we are in Pensacola. You know, this is what we
do. That's it.
Just, you know, allow the help. Do as much as we can to facilitate. So
resilient and generous.
Absolutely. 437. Oh, the we'll say the most entertaining thing. You see the dude on the duck float?
No.
I don't know if I've got this cut quite right. I'm going to take a stab here.
Well, Zedalia made landfall this morning. Not everybody evacuated. Look at these two. In Tampa, they decided they didn't want to just sit out the storm. They went rafting instead on an inflatable rubber duck. It's not recommended activity when a Cat 3 storm is coming through, but the roads were empty because of the flooding. These two guys found a new way to get through morning rush hour.
It's
well, we have dummies like that here, too.
I know.
Look at Halifax.
It's this great video of dude one is in a, he's like a black hat, and he's got a kayak paddle, and he's on this big inflatable duck on his knees paddling through the water in Tampa as it's all flooded. What's funny about it is the water is a little bit active where he is, not massively active, but it's just a little bit topsy-turvy for him, not much. I mean, he's on a float and he's staying up. It's not like he's surfing or anything. And there's a dude behind him, like 20 feet behind him, who's just walking through it, knee-deep water. You know, so it's not like the devastating, life-threatening storm that's happening at the moment. As I say, dude two is just kind of, oh, well, I hadn't seen that today, you know?
That's hilarious.
You're going to see that picture in your memes, I think, is what I expect going forward. 517 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep. And a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements. Learning how you sleep, so you learn to sleep better. Night after night. Sleep next level. Only from Sleep Number.
Don't miss our Labor Day special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Labor Day.
When you can't stop, there's Vicks VapoRub. Vicks VapoRub sends powerful medicated Vicks vapors right to the source of your... so you can experience cough relief and breathe easier. Generations of families have trusted Vicks VapoRub to help relieve the worst cold symptoms. So next time you have a cough, reach for the Vicks VapoRub. Vicks VapoRub. Cough relieving is believing.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
It's an awesome spectacle. An audacious display of seething opponents. Once again, parallel. In an obstinate attempt to prove superiority of the roads. Unequal in our lifetime.
Cut. This is like the B side of a popular A side on 45, or like the bonus cut you get on the CD, not on the vinyl. Do you know this band?
I do not. I can't place it.
Do you remember the song "I Can't Break Away"? The Bill and Ted song, Big Pig.
Not really.
Okay. Well, this is a song by them.
I love it.
I know it's one of these songs I always loved.
Wild Stallions?
And I knew. Yeah, no. Like Big Pig. is the band. So, but I always, you know, I always loved that song, and I just recently turned it into bumper.
Well,
so.
I do too. That's awesome.
It's a great song, but yeah, I know
it's like
not.
Nathaniel Radcliffe
didn't exactly
the,
make
the
charts. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Hurricane Idalia remains a little bit of a threat. It's a tropical storm now hitting in North Carolina. The National Weather, the National Hurricane Center, rather, was warning of flash flooding overnight there, and a tornado watch was issued in parts of North Carolina. The federal government putting together resources to support states that have been impacted by the storm. The Biden administration mobilized 1,500 personnel, 540 search and rescue workers, and some disaster assistance teams. That are going to be deployed throughout Georgia, Florida, and the Carolinas. American Airlines flight attendants have authorized a strike. The Association of Professional Flight Attendants voted overwhelmingly in favor of authorizing that strike. They plan to demonstrate at several airports. And, boy, Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell froze up again yesterday.
I saw that.
So scary seeing that.
I have it. Let's play it. I was going to play it if you didn't bring it up, because I thought this is – Well, here goes. Remember he had that episode a month ago in July where he was just talking and then he stopped and they couldn't get nothing out of him and had to move him back to his office. This was yesterday.
Senator, you're up for election in 3 short years. What are your thoughts on this?
So you're up for election 3 short years. What are your thoughts?
I'm sorry. I had a hard time hearing you.
That's okay. What are your thoughts on running for re-election in 2026?
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Oh. That's a...
Yeah. So the aide comes in.
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Yes.
And he's not responding.
All right, I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute. Senator.
And she's trying to talk to him and gets the other guy to come over and help him out.
I'm going to head outside, Senator. Come with us.
You okay, sir? Okay. I'm okay.
Okay.
And it just doesn't get much any better after that. They keep trying to talk to him, and he kind of sort of mumbles through some answers, but yeah, and he had a concussion from a fall is what we're hearing. And
that's what they've been saying. It's just scary to see somebody, you know, kind of in a degrading condition like that. It's awful to see.
And look, somebody who, you know, clearly is old, very old, somebody who is clearly very powerful and is also just as clearly having major health issues. You know, we saw this with Dianne Feinstein. You know, I mean, just it's not that people can't be capable to serve when they're old, but the real issue is healthy. And nobody can make the claim that Mitch McConnell is healthy and capable right now. Does he need to step away? Does he need to resign? I don't know, but this can't go on. Right. So anyway, sorry, David, I kind of interrupted your news there.
No, that was the last I had.
All right. Thanks so much for the update. 5:23 on News Radio 92.3. Just in case you didn't see the video, it's about 2 minutes long. Here's the rest of it kind of as he's, again, struggling to respond. And look, it might be that cognitive functions there's a difference between what can be going on inside your brain and how your brain isn't working with your body, you know, right? So I don't know how well his thought process is. Might be totally fine. And he just can't control his body at the moment or can't control his speech at the moment. But here's kind of how the rest of this went.
Somebody else have a question? Please speak up.
What efforts is Daniel Cameron going to have to make on the campaign trail to win Kentuckians over in November?
And he's got nothing, right? He's stuck.
Senator Daniel Cameron, do you have a comment on Daniel Cameron?
Well, I think the governor's race is going to be very close. Far and away the best candidate we could have nominated. And our state has become increasingly Republican. In fact, the governor's the only Democrat left in Concord. So I'm optimistic that Daniel will be our next governor of Kentucky.
Okay, I think we can do one more.
Senator,
I was surprised that she wanted to do another one because it was just more like that. I'll say this. Now, granted, the responsibilities are different, okay? But if this were the president, he wouldn't be president, right? Because you can't have somebody, you know, making military decisions, reacting to crises. You know, the leader of the minority in the Senate or the co-leader of the non-majority, 50-50.
If it was somebody's parent, they would ask him not to drive.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And again, I don't know whether that would be a temporary withdrawal or whether that'd be a permanent resignation. But, you know, if this were the president, that would be the only thing we'd be talking about. And he's one of the most powerful men in the world. And prayers for his family, for his health, of course, that's not the issue. But just, you know, this is a pretty bad health condition at the moment. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is just, we haven't had a chance to talk about this. This has been lingering on my list of things that I really wanted to get to. The Army has a bunch of new ads out. Yeah, the Army has begun a whole series of ads that they've actually reverted back to a classic tagline in their ads, even though they're not quite featuring it the same way. So in this ad, it's like the process of, it starts off where you're in a bus, seeing like high schoolers ride on a bus. Well, it turns out they're riding to a whisper.
That's awesome.
And so you think they're just kids, but they're the ones who are really, you know, protecting the nation, right? It's kind of a cool thing. So what's the classic line that you think of as representing the Army? Like, what's the slogan that you think of when you think of the Army from your child? Well, from my childhood,
remember.
Not your
Go
child.
Army, but, gosh, I'm...
Be...
All you can be.
A Ranger never takes the easy way out.
This is from 82.
I remember this.
Yep. You remember this ad, don't you?
Getting to the Rangers is tough, and the training is tough.
Be all that you can be.
That's right.
It makes me feel like I'm part of something really special.
Be all that you can be.
And I'm not the only one.
You can do it in the Army.
There you go. You remember that song,
Absolutely.
Cold, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. And by the way, that's what they're returning to now.
Be all you can be.
Be all you
Absolutely.
Can be. It's a great slogan.
My
it really
dad was
is.
In the Army for 26 years. He was a drill sergeant.
Oh, okay.
That what explains my ACT scores. But you know. We were an Army household. Fort Drum,
Show me those reps.
I know, dude. Yeah.
What I thought was interesting is I was going back and pulling the audio from the 80s and early 90s of some of these ads, and the song had two variations back then.
From microchip circuitry to laser technology, the world's largest school for high-tech skills is the Army.
Be all that you can be. Get an edge on life in the Army.
See, that's the uptick at
Get
the
an
end.
Edge on life,
that
yeah.
one's different than what I remembered as the theme song.
We do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
See?
Right.
All that you can be.
Hey, First Sergeant. Good morning.
Find your future in the Army.
That's the one I remember.
Yeah,
is the
sure.
longer with the downbeat mm-hmm. at the end. So, but yeah, they've gone back to this. It's all kinds of things. Like, you know, you can be a tank gunner.
Designate tank.
Shows a guy, you know, getting ready to fire in a practice run. There's one where they got like the proud parents are, you know, walking them through a graduation. And one that's all about the lifestyle, all the different things you can see and do. And I just thought it was interesting that they have reverted now to the old slogan, which is one of the, I thought one of the best slogans ever. You know what was the original slogan for Army recruiting?
Mm-mm.
I want you.
Oh, I want you. That's right.
Or yeah. U.S. Army. Okay. Right. Uncle Sam. Then in the 50s, it was choice, not chance. I know.
No, okay.
I wasn't alive yet. And modern Army green. 1971 to 1980, today's Army wants you, and today's Army wants to join you. That's kind of a weird one. Then today's Army is changing. We want to meet you halfway. None of these stuck. Join the people who've joined the Army in 73, and then this is the... I mean, these are all like... They were. These were actual slogans. Join the people who've joined the Army. 1980, be all you can be.
That's when they got an advertising agency, probably.
21 years as the slogan, which in the scheme of slogans is actually pretty good.
Good slogan.
It was a copywriter, a senior copywriter at the Ayer Advertising Agency that came up with that in 1980.
Oh, I was kidding, but
no,
well,
yeah.
That's cool.
January 2003, the U.S. Army awarded him the Outstanding Civilian Service Award for that. Then it was Army of One. Then it was Army Strong. Then it was Warriors Wanted. Right. Then it's What's Your Warrior? And now, Be All That You Can Be.
Be All You Can Be, absolutely. We appreciate all of our sailors and soldiers.
Absolutely.
And everything.
So I just thought that was kind of fascinating that they're, you know, because recruiting is so far down for a lot of the services other than the Marines and, you know, trying to figure out what we can do. And, hey, we got a classic. Let's revert to it. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next after Fox.
News. I'm Paul Stevens. Tropical storm Idalia hitting Florida as a Category 3 hurricane yesterday before being downgraded. Governor Ron DeSantis comparing this storm to last year's Hurricane Ian.
There were frantic calls to 911 because the water was rising in people's homes so quickly. We did not see those types of phone calls like we did in Hurricane Ian. And so I think it's a combination of the surge was a little bit more manageable, and I think it was a combination of people did heed the evacuation warnings.
Governor DeSantis on Fox's Hannity. President Biden asked about Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who for the second time in a few months froze yesterday in front of reporters.
Mitch is a friend, as you know, not a joke. We always, I know people don't believe that the case, but we have disagreements politically, but he's a good friend.
Mitch McConnell is 81. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 77 degrees, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. Thousands of people still without power in the Big Bend area. Hurricane Idalia, of course, made landfall as a Category 3 storm yesterday. And as of today, the county, with over 13,000 power outages, right where it made landfall. Suwannee County also has about double that. Madison and Jefferson counties with 20,000 each. Statewide right now, they're saying about 100,000 people still without power after that storm yesterday. And Governor DeSantis, with a warning to looters yesterday, he said people have a right to defend their property, and if you loot, they'll shoot. DeSantis says if you break into somebody's house, you never know what's behind a door in Florida. Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff's Office says a 15-year-old girl has now been charged with first-degree murder in the death of her mother's fiancé yesterday.
Pulls out a handgun and shoots her mother, shoots at her mother, narrowly missing her, and also shoots at her mother's fiancé, striking him.
And Sheriff Simmons telling Channel 3 that the incident happened yesterday morning at the Essex Point Apartments, and that suspect was identified as Sunshine Grace James. After the alleged shooting, James was said to have fled the apartment in her mother's car. She ended up being arrested on Rio Grande Circle. The city of Gulf Breeze now joining residents and businesses suing Skanska over damage caused by barges during Hurricane Sally. According to the News Journal, the city seeking damages of more than $50,000. The lawsuit does mention three separate divisions of the company, Skanska USA, Skanska USA Civil Southeast, and Skanska USA Civil. The city alleges that Skanska's negligence and intentional misconduct led to social and economic damages that they still have not recovered from. Three people were hurt after a shooting at the Oakstead Mobile Home Park on Massachusetts Avenue last night. Deputies say they were called to that scene just about a quarter till eight when they arrived. Investigators found one victim with a gunshot wound to the arm. Two other victims had already been taken to the hospital. Right now, there's no word on the condition of the three victims. There's also no word on a possible suspect. Former Escambia County Commissioner and Pensacola Mayor now joining the faculty at Pensacola State College. The college says Grover Robinson is joining as the Associate Vice President of Government and Community Relations. He'll be replacing Sandy Cesaretti Ray, who retired last year. And in this role, Robinson will serve as the college's governmental affairs lobbyist and the liaison to members of the Florida State Legislature. 534 at News Radio, 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
It's going to be a beautiful day with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, 40% chance of rain with a high near 94. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. Friday, rain chances increase with an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75 degrees. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 77 in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
It's a celebration. Join us for the Impact 100 20th Anniversary Celebration on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Brownsville Community Center. This event is a celebration to honor two decades of empowering women and transforming lives in our community. Presented by Kia Autosport and Sandy Sansing Dealerships. Limited tickets are available, so visit impact100pensacola.org to buy your ticket today.
Hurricane season is here. Millions of people live in hurricane evacuation zones in Florida. This means that if an evacuation needs to happen, a lot of people need to get on the road. But if you're halfway full, you're halfway there. Keeping your gas tank at least half full during hurricane season ensures you won't have to wait in long lines to get gas when it's time to go. And you don't have to travel hundreds of miles. A half a tank of gas can easily get you to a safe location that's tens of miles away. For more tips, visit halfwayfullhalfwaydare.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Check out the farm-to-table vendors, arts and crafts, and unique shopping Saturday from 9 to 1 at the Highway 87 Outdoor Market at Pickett's. Find out more at getrelaxing.com. Get your beach chairs and enjoy another Cinemas in the Sand Friday night at the Gulfside Pavilion stage. It's a free event, and the greatest showman begins at sunset. Visit Pensacola.com for more. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 5:37, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, as typical on Wednesday, I had a chance to talk to Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. We're doing well. We're obviously praying and thinking a lot about our neighbors to the east and the situation that they are still enduring, and of course what they're going to find out is true after the storm passes through and all the reconstruction that they're facing. We well know this problem here in Pensacola. I wanted to ask you, you made the announcement yesterday. I admit, I did not know that Fire Station 4 had been closed because of mold issues. I remember the issues with Fire Station 3, and we actually had to build a new fire station because of all of that. This one was able to be caught in time to be remediated?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one of those that's been going on for several months, and we even looked at the building and its age and made sure that it was the right thing to do. Because, you know, you start remediating mold, you don't know where it's going to end sometimes. As a matter of fact, we were thankful, all said and done, we budgeted about $250,000 for the remediation at 4, and we only spent about $165,000, but you never know.
Right.
So we even started to have some conversations about whether we, you know, a 30-year-old building, it should last 50 years, but, you know, what, make sure we were being prudent with the taxpayer dollar. But a good outcome. We got back in there a little sooner than we thought and under budget, so those are both good things. And glad to have that back online.
And by the way, kudos to you for, you know, being willing to ask to spend the money on getting another, you know, building services kind of overseer to handle, well, you know, the community centers, because, you know, what we seem to be finding is, boy, everything is in worse shape than we thought. And we want to prevent these problems and catch them before they get to this point, because that's how we're going to save money. It's an investment to save money, not a spend to, you know, just spend money, right?
Exactly. I look at it as that's not an addition to the budget. It should be a huge boost to our expense line. Yeah, I mean, when you have two people looking at buildings, and you think about some of the buildings we own have been through two major hurricanes, you know, whether it be Ivan, of course, Sally, and whatever damage took place there that you maybe didn't see at the time. And, you know, and not only that, just the general age and and deterioration of the building. And so having two sets of eyes, not just one, on all these assets we have is a no-brainer for me. I mean, I think this person should pay for themselves in spades in terms of being able to save costs and not get to a situation like we are in several of our buildings right now.
Yeah, sort of like, you know, hiring a grants person. Well, that position will pay for itself.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say so far that office has paid for it, so, you know, somewhere in the $80 million range in 9 months. I think that's covered their cost.
You know, I was just playing some clips out of Santa Rosa County. They were talking about the challenge of staffing and, of course, you know, keeping good staff, paying your staff enough, hiring positions as your tax base and your population grows so that you can at least maintain a level of service. Because, you know, if the population level grows and you don't expand your capabilities, then you will, by definition, be providing less service per person. What's kind of your view of that at the city? Is it better to grow? Is it better to maintain? Is it better to reward the people you've got? Are you doing anything in this regard?
Yeah, so we had that salary study. And look, I think you have two options as an organization. You can say that we want to invest in our people and expect higher outcomes, be more efficient, and be able to, if you do have low performers in your organization, you're more likely to make the right change with low performers because you are paying competitively enough to replace them with a quality candidate. Or you can take what a lot of municipalities, cities and counties and others do, is they, you know, did chalk it up to complacency. Hey, it's government work. And I just don't understand that. I mean, to put our head in the sand and say, oh, well, this job should pay $14 an hour, $15 an hour, the same as a fast food joint. What always sticks with me is in hospitality, the average cost of turnover, I'm talking about from a bartender to a bartender, waiter to a waiter, is about $6,000 to the organization between overtime you pay, training, lack of quality customer service that leads to lower revenue, all that. And that's just in a hospitality position. And so you think about what the true cost of when people get there and then leave after 90 days, 6 months, there's a hidden cost there that's extreme. And so I'd rather run a little bit of a tighter ship in terms of the organization, not sit around with vacant positions that have been open for years that haven't been filled, but then just put in, let's pay the people what they deserve to be paid. We have to compete with the private market in some ways and with other municipalities. We're behind at the city right now. That's what we've learned. But we're going to get there. We're going to have a significant reform to how we reward the people who work here and that they're proud to work here every day. And I think that's the challenge we have and that we're going to take head on.
Well, if it brings a level of accountability to you as the mayor or as, you know, senior management, because I'm just numbers out of the thin air here. But, you know, let's say you've got budgeted 200 positions, but you've only got 150 people on staff. Well, you know, the work of 200 people is what it takes to run the city. And you got to figure 150 people are doing the work of 200. So might as well pay them, you know, pay them the extra third that basically would have been paid to somebody else because the work is getting done. And that also incentivizes, you know, that does a lot of things for the health of the organization. It kind of keeps you accountable to try to make sure that, you know, people aren't being overburdened too much. Right. So that all makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and remember, when you have vacant positions as a city, they have to be budgeted. I mean, in essence, you're paying those positions.
Right.
You can't take that money and spend it on something else. So why not get more efficient? And that's what I mean. Not really get significantly smaller, but just be more efficient and smarter with the way that we use those dollars year to year.
Something I neglected to ask you last week, I meant to and then I just forgot, was, you know, there's been kind of this back and forth between you and the Escambia Children's Trust over the building and the services you want to provide there. And you had some fairly strong words, I thought, directed at staff at the Escambia Children's Trust. And, you know, a couple of days after that, the executive director announced that she was resigning, and they're finding somebody else new. Your reaction to that?
Well, look, I think whatever she thinks is the best for her life and her future is totally fine. That certainly wasn't my expectation. But I do have a clear expectation, which is I just want to know what the rules are. I mean, whoever the new executive director is, not just for the city, not selfishly for me, but for the sheriff's department, for whoever's applying for these dollars that wants to help the children in our community. That's all I've asked for. It can lose in a 0-9, whatever the number is, vote when it gets to the board, if that's what happens. So I don't put any of this on the board. And it's unfortunate that it's mentioned that this was somehow political. It never had a chance to be political, to be honest with you. We couldn't get past the logistical phase much less if it were to be political. So I think that's kind of a lazy rationalization here to say that was what the issue is. At the end of the day, I don't care who does this. If we can have 1,800 children within walking distance of a place where they can get medical care, 1,800 underserved part of our community in the city and the county, then I don't care who does it. I support it. You know, and so we want to do the right thing here. And certainly, again, I believe in a lot of the people and their hearts and their spirit for this community that are on that board. And I really hope that moving forward, they're able to have the staff that they need to make sure that they are in the best position to make an impact for our community.
Can you help me understand? I don't really understand the mobile command grant for PPD because it's connected with the port. How is the port connected to this? What is the thing we're actually going to be getting?
Yeah, so it's actually what you'd think of as a mobile command center, you know,
an RV,
a unit that you'd be able to. But it's through a port grant, and the argument is if something were to happen at the port or in the port area, that would allow us to have a setup. I mean, be it post-hurricane, whatever the case may be, you'd be able to have that. But of course, it's not limited to only being able to be used there. So it was really an ability to leverage our port, keep it more secure, as well as the reverberating impact of that is to be able to have some more mobile commands and more response, basically, for the city of Pensacola. So that us having the port allowed us to be able to apply for that grant. And, you know, that's another $500,000 that helps keep us safer and another public safety investment.
I'm not going to turn down the money. I'm not going to say we shouldn't have a mobile command center. It just still strikes me as I don't ever remember there being the need for a big response at the port. And it seems kind of like we found a way to get the money and they approved it. So all good. That's what it looks like to me. So they're paying for a thing that's probably maybe never going to be used in that particular way, but still we'll have it. That's what it seems like to me. And that's fine. You know, I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something. And I don't think I was. We always like to end with the lightning. Oh, actually, before anybody who's already planned to go to hurricane relief, anybody that you know that's tasked toward that right now?
As of this morning, no, but of course we've been in contact. I mean, we would have resources. We're a little strapped at the moment, but we would have resources available, certainly. And as I mentioned, I called the mayor of Tallahassee yesterday and told him to reach out, Mayor Daley, if there's anything that we could be helpful with moving forward. So not at this moment, but if we need to, we could.
Hey, and sometimes, you know, some people don't remember to ask, and when you let them know in advance that they can ask, that's a helpful thing, so I appreciate that. All right, the lightning round, we ask you quick questions. I hate to bring this up because it's a painful for all of us. You one time worked at Blockbuster. Netflix is, you know, getting rid of their DVD distribution service. Does that make you happy or sad?
It just means I'm getting old. I can't believe it. I remember when DVDs was the hot thing when I was working in the Airport Boulevard location.
Do you still have any DVDs, or are you all streaming?
I'm all streaming. I'm probably in my attic.
I think there's a lot of attics and a lot of storage units and things like that. Your family, right. Are they card players? If so, what's the card game of preference?
Ooh, actually, yeah, you know, we'll do a little bit, but no, with Caroline being 9, we've actually just started playing a little Monopoly, and I've lost. I've been last place every time we played, so I don't know what that means. Hopefully, I'm using all my resources towards the city.
Not so much the Monopoly. All of your business strategic skills are being used for the city. And then last one, somewhere around 40% to half of all Americans watch TV with the subtitles on because it's hard for them to hear or it's poorly mixed. When you watch TV, subtitles on or subtitles not on? Or only when needed?
This has been now handed to me. My girlfriend, Sydney, is a proud disciple of the captions.
Okay.
So now, by osmosis, I now do watch it with captions, and it's kind of nice. You know, you can have it on in the background, work on the computer and whatnot. So, you know, I'm, again, getting older, but I'm trying to adapt, Andrew, you know.
I appreciate that, and I love the fact that you corrected me. Captions, not subtitles, because it's not a foreign language, although sometimes it might seem like it, especially if it's a Guy Ritchie film. D.C. Reeves, he is the mayor of Pensacola. As always, Mr. Mayor, thanks for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Most definitely. 549 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in tomorrow morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. This spring, weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton and New Warrington Road in Pensacola. See you at David's.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
If there's anything you need or that I can do, please tell me.
Well, you could let me make love to you.
Make love, did you say?
Yes.
What do you mean? You don't even know my psychocardiogram.
They said heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth.
What do you mean? You don't even know my psychocardiogram.
That's so funny. Oh, Barbarella is so weird.
I had never seen Barbarella, and I watched it maybe a week or two ago, and God, that is a...
It's interesting.
Something. It's something. There's a lot in that movie. It's not good.
It's
but
not.
It's wild and crazy and imaginative and weird. And, you know, they had the Demolition Man concept before Demolition Man. You know,
hey,
that's get
true.
Rid of physical interaction. And just Candy and I both, like, we held up our hands to each other
that's
and started,
right.
you know, nervously twitching.
It's so weird, dude. It's like the weirdest movie.
It is.
And we weren't allowed to watch it in the house. I'd mentioned that because Jane Fonda was in it.
You remember Pi? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You remember Pygar, the blind angel.
The angel, right?
Yeah, right. And the ooze that was eating this. I mean, it's a bizarre movie. It really is.
It is so stupid.
Dino De Laurentiis,
but I love
who
it.
Made Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
So, okay, there you go.
Right. You can see. Yeah.
That's right. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the news. David, have you even heard the name Barbarella before?
I've heard the name.
Okay, good. See, there we go. Okay, fair enough. What's going on in the newsroom?
Well, for the 11th time since June, Texas officials have sent a bus of migrants to Los Angeles. The Los Angeles mayor's office says that bus arrived late yesterday morning. The passengers were made up of 21 adults and 14 children. SpaceX getting ready for another Falcon 9 rocket launch today. That'll be launching from Vandenberg Space Force Base. The payload is satellites, but not Starlink today. They're actually launching satellites for the Space Development Agency called Tranche Zero, and this will be part of a network supporting military communication for missile warning and tracking capabilities. Hmm. And there's a bar in Milwaukee that...
Just the one.
Just the one bar. No, there's a bar
the
in
house.
Milwaukee that's planning to offer free drinks this football season when Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets lose.
That's funny. I thought it was also they had a, I thought it was when the Yankees lose too. Like there was both it was it was the Jets or the Yankees, but not both or something like that.
Oh,
I thought I saw that.
It
in
could
the story.
Be.
I didn't know about their vendetta against the Yankees.
Yeah,
I guess I didn't either.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I get why.
Anyway, so they've. That's really all there is to it.
Because Rodgers,
they're
left,
offering
right?
free drinks whenever Aaron Rodgers loses because they're upset. That
nice.
I get that. Nice. I'm surprised Brett Favre wasn't set on fire. He went to go play for the Vikes.
I know. Idiot. It's a terrible, terrible thing.
Not to mention the money he allegedly stole from, you know, Louisiana.
Well, that's a separate issue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But no, you're not.
Your face,
wrong.
Favre family.
Not wrong.
I knew.
5:55 on News Radio 92.3. David, thanks so much for the update. The Marines have ordered not a stand down, but a safety review of all of the Ospreys and their operations. And, you know, they're wanting information back to try to figure out what's going on with these Osprey crashes. Of course, the one that killed three in Australia and injured several more. We also have big story. This is a story that I think some people, it's going to be hard for them to report on because they don't fully understand the implications of this story. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure I do either, but I'll tell you what I know. The Biden administration is, for the first time ever, giving military aid to Taiwan. That's not a first time, but it's the first time they're using it under a program that has only ever been used for sovereign nations before. Okay? The Foreign Military Financing Program, FMF, it's not that much at the moment. It's, you know, they've got a possible $2 billion, but they're only authorizing $80 million of it so far. That's what Congress has set aside. And they're giving it directly to Taiwan and military. And the reason this matters is because we have this longstanding what's called the One China policy. And if you know anything about the One China policy, you'll know that it is logically incoherent, but it is our policy. Our policy is that China is just one country. And therefore, Taiwan is not a separate nation. We don't have, like, official diplomatic relations or whatever with Taiwan. We don't recognize them as an independent nation. But we also believe that the Chinese should not be invading them, taking them over, conquering them, owning them, using military force, that everything should be solved diplomatically between the two. And, of course, we believe in defending Taiwan against China. You say, well, how can all that be true? It can't. It can't. It's incoherent. But it is our policy because if we say Taiwan is an independent, which, you know, China thinks of Taiwan as like a rebellious portion of their own country. That's how they think of them. And we, as this longstanding policy, have not really gotten into the middle of this, even though we are clearly in the middle of this. And so there's a concern that by doing this through a program that has only previously ever been done to sovereign nations, that that is going to irritate China. And if China gets too irritated, the reason that we don't do more for Taiwan is because we don't want to provoke them into an actual invasion to prove against the assault of their honor, you know, to prove that Taiwan really is theirs, which it really isn't. Nobody believes it is, except they all want to pretend like it is. So if all of that doesn't fully make sense to you, good. Welcome to the party. You know, like, it doesn't really make sense. But that's just kind of it's a very interesting development. There's only one other time that we haven't sent aid through this program to a non-nation state, but it was for the African Union, which is an organization of sovereign states. So it's still recognition of sovereignty is kind of built into it. Coastal and air defense systems, armored vehicles, infantry fighting vehicles, drones, ballistic missiles, and cyber defenses. And advanced communications equipment, small, medium, heavy weapons, ammunition. So, you know, it's a pretty robust defense package, even though it's not a big price tag. But still, that's just kind of pay attention. This is a pretty important development in our relations with East Asia, with China, and with Taiwan. 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. The president of Austal has resigned. Remember, they've had some issues. You know, they've got an ongoing investigation against a former president, and now they've got an interim president named. There were some revenue projections that have been off because of their new contract, and it's weird because you would have thought that they would be doing well, but, you know, looks like maybe not, including the possibility that they're scheduled for losses rather than profit from $37 million to $6.5 million, flipping.
You're listening to
revenue for FY23.